Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. One of the major controversies among theologians during the past 25 or 30 years has been the nature of divine inspiration. In 1976, Dr. Harold Lenzel, one of the founding professors at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, wrote an excellent book with the title, The Battle for the Bible. Dr. Lenzel set forth the following thesis. Once infallibility of the Scriptures is abandoned, it always and ever opens the door to further departure from the faith. It will result in the loss of missionary outreach. It will quench missionary passion. It will lull congregations to sleep and undermine their belief in the full orb truth of the Bible. It will produce spiritual sloth and decay. It will finally lead to apostasy. Page 25. Moses listed the Ten Commandments and then said, "These words the Lord spoke unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me." Deuteronomy 5:22. As you know, similar expressions are found throughout the Old Testament, and to some extent throughout the New. These words from the book of Deuteronomy provide an opportunity for asking some very important questions about the nature of inspiration. Will you please think seriously about these questions? When Moses claimed the words he had spoken came from God Almighty, was he telling the truth, or had he invented the words and attributed them to God? If the words actually came from God Almighty, could they have possibly been wrong in any respect? In other words, is it possible for God to lie? If the words did not come from God Almighty, by what standard do we decide which, if any, words come from God? Moses demanded that the Israelites observe God's word exactly as it had been revealed. "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Deuteronomy 4:2. Although the wording in the New Testament differs from that of the Old, the message is the same. The Apostle Paul wrote of the absolute necessity of having God's inspired word, that is, if we want to know the will of God. He then added, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, combining spiritual words with spiritual ideas." 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. If the Holy Spirit supernaturally guided Paul in his writing, then his message cannot be wrong, even in the minutest details. The Holy Spirit so overshadowed Paul in his writing that the very words of Scripture are the words of the Holy Spirit. No other approach to inspiration takes into account all the facts of Scripture. The most powerful statement of the Bible's inspiration comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy. Paul mentions the fact that Timothy had known the Holy Scripture since he was a child. He then wrote, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or full grown, completely furnished unto all good works." 2 Timothy 3, 15-17. According to these verses, all God said in both the Old Testament and in the New can be relied on to be absolutely true. That is the reason we must believe God's Word and obey it from the heart. It is the Word that will judge us in the last day. So I encourage you, dear friends, to read God's Word as the very message from God Himself, and then to obey it. We thank you for listening today, and may God continue to bless and keep you.